Tonight, and I ask him for his grace as I minister. I also want to thank Pastor Fola and Pastor Wura for the opportunity. Thank you for the privilege. It's not an easy task, but I'm grateful. I also want to thank God for my best friend of over 18 years who happens to be my husband, the love of my life. Thank you for releasing me, sweetie, and I love you. And also to say thank you to you for coming. If you weren't here, I'd have been preaching to the chairs. Amen. And today I'll be talking about a yielded vessel. And before we go into our text, I just want to give some definitions. The word yielded comes from the verb yield. It means to surrender or submit oneself to another. It means to acknowledge the superiority of someone else. Then vessel is simply a container for holding something. It could be a bowl, it could be a bottle. Another meaning, it's a person into whom some quality, such as grace, is infused into. And with these definitions, I came up with this definition of a yielded vessel, and I'll read it. A yielded vessel is a person who submits himself to and acknowledges the superiority of the Holy Spirit and into whom grace is infused. I'll repeat it. A yielded vessel is a person who submits himself to and acknowledges the superiority of the Holy Spirit and into whom grace is infused. Now, who are we submitting to? I won't read it, but in John 16, you can open it from verse 7 to 15. Jesus left us a gift in the person of the Holy Spirit. And if you read all those verses, he kept on talking about somebody. He will, he is. That shows us, or rather that tells us, that the Holy Spirit is actually a person. And you say, what are the characteristics of a person? A person is able to think. The person has an intellect. The person is able to have feelings, emotions. And the person is able to choose, has a will. Please, let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 2, 10 to 11, and I'm reading the Amplified Version. For God has unveiled them. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 to 11. Yes, yet unto us God has unveiled and revealed them by and through his Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God, the divine counsels and things hidden and beyond man's scrutiny. For what person perceives, knows, and understands what passes through a man's thoughts, except the man's own spirit within him? Just so no one discerns, comes to know and comprehend the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. This tells us that the Holy Spirit thinks. Then let's open to Romans 15:30. The same version, please. And he says, it's okay. I appeal to you, I entreat you, brethren, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love given by the Spirit, to unite with me in earnest wrestling in prayer to God in my behalf. You can see here the Spirit is a spirit of love. So he loves. He has emotion to love. Then also Ephesians 4:30, which we might know. And he talks about us grieving the Holy Spirit. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not offend or vex or sadden him, by whom you were sealed, marked, branded as God's own, secured for the day of redemption, of final deliverance through Christ from evil and the consequences of sin. So we can see here that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. And most of us know what it means to grieve, especially if you've lost a loved one. You can imagine that deep, sad feeling. The Holy Spirit too has that feeling. He's a spirit of love, but can also feel very sad. And I think one of the reasons why he might feel very sad is maybe when he releases his love to us and we don't love him back and we do things. So he becomes grieved, he becomes saddened that he has lost us. then he has a will. That's 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. But one and the same, it's fine. All these gifts, achievements, abilities are inspired and brought to pass by one and the same Holy Spirit, who apportions to each person individually, exactly as he chooses. So you can see he has a will. So being in friendship and partnership with the Holy Spirit means that we must be connected, or rather he would love to be connected to a life that is totally submitted and surrendered to him and infused with grace. Amen. Let's open our text for today. It's taken from Luke chapter 1, from verse 26 to 38. Your version is slightly different from mine, and it's the same thing. Just give me a minute. Okay. I read. Now, in the sixth month after that, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth, to a girl never having been married, and a virgin engaged to be married to a man whose name was Joseph, a descendant of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Hail, O favored one, endued with grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed, favored of God, are you before all other women." But when she saw him, she was greatly troubled and disturbed and confused at what he said, and kept revolving in her mind what such a greeting might mean. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace, free, spontaneous, absolute favor, and loving kindness with God. And listen, you will become pregnant, and you will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, eminent, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his forefather David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob throughout the ages, and of his reign there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no intimacy with any man as a husband?" Then the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud. And so the holy, pure, sinless thing offspring, which shall be born of you, will be called the Son of God. And listen, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is now the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." Then Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to what you have said." And the angel left her. Praise God. When I was looking for a text about a yielded vessel, I was drawn to Mary, and I wasn't sure what I'll see there. But even before I started searching or read it, I already started receiving things. And looking at the life of Mary, you can say she's one of the great vessels that was in the Bible. I could also say that her job was one of the most important in the world. She was the vessel that carried Jesus and also brought him forth. And there's so much we can learn, because you could see that she was a yielded vessel and God used her for a lot of things. And there's a long list. I'm not going to put them in numbers, but just follow me and I'll take it verse by verse. Starting from verse 26. These are some of the things a yielded vessel can pick from the life of Mary. It says, "Now in the sixth month after that, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth." A yielded vessel can be picked from anywhere. Let's open to John chapter 1, verse 46. And that will tell you about Nazareth. Nazareth was like a local town. There's nothing so significant about it. You can see even Nathaniel said, John 1, 46. He said, can any good thing, yes, Nathanael answered him and said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip replied, come and see. So that was one of the towns where I'm sure when they call, there are some towns now when you hear people are from there, you go like, isn't it? There are some towns where they say you could move into and you're like, I don't know. But you can be picked from anywhere as long as you're a yielded vessel. Your background doesn't matter. Your history doesn't matter. And more importantly, your color doesn't matter, if you think about it. Then verse 27, he says, to a girl never having been married and a virgin engaged to be married to a man whose name was Joseph, a descendant of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. A yielded vessel must be sanctified. It must be cleansed for God's purpose. God needed something clean to put Jesus in. And 2 Timothy 2, chapter 21, please, can you open it for me? It says, so whoever cleanses himself from what is ignoble and unclean, who separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influences, will then himself be a vessel set apart and useful for honorable and noble purposes, consecrated and profitable to the master, fit and ready for any good work. And that can be you. Our daily prayer should be Psalm 51, verse 10 to 11, which says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. The Holy Spirit will not want to dwell in a place that is dirty. And we as human beings, I don't think you want, looking at an ordinary cup, if your cup is dirty, would you want to pour water into it? No way. You want a clean cup. That's why our lives need to be cleansed for God to use it. Then the second thing, it's not the second thing, the next thing in that verse is a yielded vessel has a name. It has a name. And Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 talks about us being named by God. Sorry. For this reason, seeing 14 and 15, for this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15. For whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. That father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. You've been named after God. He has called you by your name. You can also see this in Isaiah 43, verse 7. Even everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, whom I have made. So you are a yielded vessel and he has called you by his name. Amen. Then a yielded, this is verse 28, and I read, it says, and he came to her and said, hail, O favored one, endued with grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed, favored of God are you before other women. A yielded vessel is chosen and set apart. And Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, let me not misquote it, and I approved of you as my chosen instrument. And before you were born, I separated and set you apart, consecrating you and appointed you as a prophet to the nation. So before this time, God knew that it would be Mary. And before this time, God knew that it would be you. Before even your parents were born, God knew that you'd be giving birth to. And he has chosen you as long as you yield to him. Then verse 29 says, but when she saw him, she was greatly troubled and disturbed and confused at what he has said, and kept revolving in her mind such a greeting might mean. What such a greeting might mean. A yielded vessel is receptive and judges things. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 2, 14 to 15. It says, but the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are folly, meaningless nonsense to him, and he is incapable of knowing them of progressively recognizing, understanding, and becoming better acquainted with them, because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. But the spiritual man tries all things. He examines, investigates, inquires into, questions, and discerns all things, yet is himself to be put on trial and judged by no one. He can read the meaning of everything, but no one can properly discern or appraise or get an insight into him. So you could see she was perplexed, and she was kind of like thinking of what that meant. So as yielded vessels, we should be receptive and also judge things according to how the Spirit reveals them to us. Then I'll read from 30 to 35. From 30. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace, free, spontaneous, absolute favor and loving kindness with God. And listen, you will become pregnant and will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, eminent, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give to him the throne of his forefather David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob through the ages, and of his reign there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no intimacy with any man as a husband?" From these verses, you can see that a yielded vessel doesn't give in to fear, because she had heard, I'm sure if I see an angel, I might disappear or run away out of fear. But she waited and listened attentively. As a yielded vessel, we should wait and listen attentively. Then also ask questions for clarity. She didn't just assume. She waited, listened, and asked questions for clarity. Then 35. And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud. And so the holy, pure, sinless thing offspring, which shall be born of you, will be called the Son of God. And listen, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is now the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." Then Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to what you have said." And the angel left her. There's a lot to pick out from verse 38. As a yielded vessel, Mary was willing and submissive. She was obedient. She was ready and available. Do you know what it meant for her to accept that responsibility? A lot of things were going to be changed. In the first place, her relationship or her marriage to be was at risk. She wasn't sure if she would still get married. There was also a possibility of her being called teenage pregnancy, yes, thank you, and single mom. Not that single mom is bad, don't get me wrong. Then there will be the ridicule if she wasn't married to Joseph. You could imagine her walking around with that child, and this child was a special child, but obviously they could have insulted her, told her the child is a bastard, obviously, because Joseph would deny being the father, and she couldn't exactly say who the physical father would be. So you can imagine Jesus would have been called a bastard, in quotes. She was open to change. She was brave and took a risk. And the risk being that, yes, they got married, and the fact that she could have been stoned to death, she was willing to pay that price because of the faith she had in God's word. So a yielded vessel has faith. She believed that nothing was impossible with God. Also, a yielded vessel is sacrificial. A yielded vessel walks in humility. Those days, just like now, children were trained in the Bible, so they knew God's word. And I believe somehow every girl would have dreamed in a way to be the mother of Jesus because there were prophecies. But you can see she lived a life of humility. Even when she was told that she would have been, she is the mother of the Messiah coming, she could have gone around and be boasting, guess what, I'm carrying the King of Kings in me. Don't just come near me, my status has changed. But she was a very humble person. She received the word, and you could tell that she was so humble in a way she said, how can it be me? More like, who am I that you would pick me to carry this great, great thing? She walked in humility. And as a yielded vessel, we have to walk in humility. A yielded vessel knows God's word. And like I said, she knew the scriptures. Because there are lots of prophecies that we have received. And when these prophecies start coming to pass, how would we be? Would we be boasting? So if the Holy Spirit infuses grace into us and we go about healing the sick, does that attention now become us or what we've been filled with? Still in verse 38, a yielded vessel looks for ways to serve God. She was willing. There are so many ways we can serve God as long as you're willing and you are yielding to Him. It mustn't be something great. It could be ordinary thing as just stacking the chairs, being in welfare, standing at the door. You're fulfilling a purpose. Then let's read verse 39. And he says, and at that time, Mary rose and went with haste into the hill. Luke 1:39. Sorry about that. And at that time, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town of Judah. And she went to the house of Zechariah, and entering it, saluted Elizabeth. And it occurred when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud cry, and then exclaimed, blessed, favored of God, above all other women are you. And blessed, favored of God, is the fruit of your womb. And how have I deserved that this honor should be granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, the instant sound of your salutation reached my ears. The baby in my womb leaped for joy. I'm blessed, happy to be envied, is she who believed that there will be a fulfillment of the things that were spoken to her from the Lord. A yielded vessel must be very sensitive and discerning. 39 says, and at that time Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town of Judah. She went to visit Elizabeth. And I was saying to myself, if I was pregnant at that time, or I was told this, knowing all the consequences, the next thing what I would have done is to go somewhere nobody knows me. That's to hide. Hide. Then give birth and come back. But she was discerning. She was sensitive. Because it didn't say, it was, yes, the Holy Spirit said your cousin is pregnant, but he didn't say go there. Or was it in the scriptures? Did I miss it? He didn't say. And as a result of following that discernment or being sensitive to that, as a yielded vessel, she had an influence on another vessel. Because he says when she met Elizabeth, the voice, as she spoke, what she carried, had an influence on another vessel, within another vessel. So Elizabeth was touched, and the baby she was carrying too was touched. As yielded vessels, we can have influence on other vessels. Another thing too, she also reproduced a vessel, which is Jesus Christ. And he's the greatest vessel that ever lived on earth. As a yielded vessel, we might never be celebrated or even remembered, but the content or that thing that we carry would have a significant impact. As a yielded vessel, Mary persevered. She was there with Jesus throughout, even to his death. She was there at the cross. It takes a lot to persevere. She was there through the storms. How many mothers here can imagine your child being flogged, being beaten, and there's nothing you can do? But guess what? She knew that was his purpose. So she had to hold herself. Can imagine her cringing at every stroke. I don't think she might have been there, but she might have heard. As a yielded vessel, do you have the grace to persevere? God has told you this will happen. Maybe he didn't tell you how you get there. And guess what? Hard things come your way. But because you have yielded to him, the grace is there to carry you through that storm. The grace is there to carry you through that challenge. So as a yielded vessel, you'll be able to persevere no matter the circumstance. Like I said, Jesus is, not was, the greatest vessel the Holy Spirit ever used from the time of his birth to his death. And everything he went through, each one of us has gone through. He has even gone through worse than we have gone through. He was bruised, he was battered, he was spat on, he was torn, he was ripped, he was shredded. But guess what? As a result of that, all of us here have been produced. I can imagine when he was in heaven and they were like, we are sending you to earth. You're going to come in the form of a man so that you bear every pain. And he yielded. At the Garden of Gethsemane, it was very hard for him, but he yielded. And if you think that when he was getting all those stripes, he was God. No, he wasn't. He was feeling the pain. But guess what? The Spirit was in him to take him through that pain because he yielded to him. In conclusion, being a yielded vessel is a progressive process. It takes time. As we gradually build our relationship with the Holy Spirit, shutting the door and spending time in fellowship with him and studying the word, the better we grow at yielding. It starts from a little instruction. And let me tell you, in the last 2 weeks, it has been so difficult for me. I'm a Google person. You can ask my husband. Anything that happens, I check Google. Every information I need, Google. In the last 2 weeks, I was told, do not open Google. And I was like, what? How is that possible? And I was going through a lot of things, and I was trying to open, and I just said, don't check Google. I was like, hey. And the word was just, trust me. It was difficult. I even had to call my husband, and I was like, this is what the Spirit is telling me, but it's so difficult. And he was like, sweetie, baby girl, just do it. And I was like, ah. Some of us, the Holy Spirit will tell you, don't Google again. Trust me. And when I started trusting him, things were okay. Because I was so worried. And the more I tried to search, the more I felt like if I do it, I might die or something bad will happen. But what I knew was if I did it, I was being disobedient. So it's obeying the simplest instructions. Which will build up to greater instructions. And these greater instructions become easy to follow because we receive grace from him to do them. Being a yielded vessel will cost you. It will cost you relationships. It will cost you time. It will be painful. There will be discomfort. It will change you. It will change you. You might lose a lot of things. Mary lost a son. God lost a son. But guess what? He gained every one of us here. You might lose some things or feel like you're losing some things as you yield. But the result in the end is it will be greater than anything you have lost. Before I finish, a vessel doesn't give value to its product. It's the product or the content that gives value to the vessel. For instance, if you see a bottle, it's just an ordinary bottle, isn't it? But once Coke is poured into it, or juice, it becomes what? A valuable bottle, isn't it? Just like we. Without him, we are nothing. We are just ordinary human beings, nothing to show forth. But once he comes into us and he fills us, we become what people call man of God, woman of God. Then a vessel is named after its content. A bottle or a bottle of milk is just milk in a bottle. But you can't say this is a bottle because you have to define that thing. So it's when you pour milk into that bottle, you can call it a milk bottle, isn't it? Or a bottle of milk. If you have a cup, what is inside that cup? So if it's tea, it has to be tea cup, isn't it? Without the content, that thing doesn't have a name. It would just be called a container. And we've been filled by the Spirit. And he has given us names. A name after his name. Are you willing to yield to the Holy Spirit to be used for his glory? It comes at a price. It comes at a price. The Holy Spirit is looking for a vessel that wants to be used, that desires to be used, and one who isn't selfish about being used. Are you that vessel? Please bow your head and talk to God. I don't know what you've heard because I've said a lot of things, but I believe at least one would resonate in your spirit. Ask him to continually unfold these words that I've spoken.